Hello. This is a podcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Google Maps. No, gluten-free macaroni. No, good riddance mad cow disease. No, Gossip Mongers. Yes, Gossip Mongers. Yes, yes, that's it. Gossip Mongers, welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
Hello, I know my name is in the email address, but I'd like to remain anonymous, please.
He's the first person who's actually worked that out.
Yeah. Anyway, my almost as unlikely gossip happened when I was about 9 years old, and anyone I told it to didn't believe that it really happened or if it was even possible. I've sometimes wondered if it came to me in some kind of bizarre fever dream, but I swear it really happened. My dad used to take me to the local football club to watch home matches. We would arrive at the ground nice and early, in plenty of time to read the programme and share a bag of wine gums before kickoff.
Sounds ideal.
However, on one occasion after a long day at school, I arrived at the ground needing to go for a wee. My dad went to get himself a Bovril. I really like his dad.
Yeah, I like how nice and calm. Yeah,
gets there early, reads a programme, yeah, has some wine gums and a Bovril.
They hardly talk.
Yeah. My so dad ideal. Went to get himself a Bovril and I went into the otherwise deserted toilets to empty my bursting bladder. I faced the urinal trough and got my little chap out, at which point an older lad, probably about 13 or 14, came in, stood right next to me. Before I could get started, he confidently said, "Hey, kid, want to see something?"
The American.
Yeah. Being quite innocent, but still somewhat taken aback, all I could summon was a nervously muttered, "Okay." At which point, the older kid also turned to face the trough. He then nodded towards a ring-shaped urinal cake, whilst proudly asserting, "I bet you can't do this." He then started pissing on the urinal cake. As he did so, it started to dissolve on impact. Little by little, it eroded away, much to his surprise and my bewilderment. By the time he had finished relieving himself, he had pissed the cake completely in half. On the way out, he gave me a nonchalant little wink and cheekily uttered, "Good luck to you, kid."
As he slowly turned Australian.
Why does he want to remain anonymous? Who gives a fuck?
Honestly, some of the people that put their name to the shit we read.
Having tried many times in the last 25 years or so, I've still no idea how he managed it. But he definitely did.
It's true that of all the ones to want to remain anonymous, you've done nothing. The one, your dad had a Bovril and you needed a piss. You're innocent, mate.
Oh, is it hard to piss a urinal cake in half?
Yeah, in one go, yeah. That's why you go through thousands. <All right.
laughs> I suppose they'd have to put in hundreds a day.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have someone full-time plopping one in after everyone had a piss. Stadiums would close down. Why did you go bankrupt? Everyone's got really hot piss.
Oh, God.
Hot piss dissolving the cake. Hot piss dissolving the cake. See you, kid. Have a good one. Hot piss, dissolving the cake. Hot piss, dissolving the cake. See you, kid. Have a good one. Gossip number two.
This is from, I don't know. Hi, this piece of gossip is about a man I used to work with called TJ, Tomato James. TJ was at least 28 stone and was immensely proud of his belly. Everyone used to pat it and rub it whenever they were talking to him. TJ would go for at least three shits a shift. And every time he came back from the toilet, he would have a big grin on his face and he'd say something along the lines of, have a look at the mess I've left in trap two.
Oh, my God.
He then chuckled to himself and returned to the production line to carry on his work. The aftermaths of his shit were a sight to behold. The shits were so powerful that even after flushing the chain, the pan would still be pebble dashed with shit. So much so that it would stay there for days. As time went on, TJ's shits became more and more famous and people would actually start following him to the toilets to listen to the drama unfold.
God, it's boring at work.
That's life. That's people's life. Monday morning would attract a massive crowd, knowing that TJ loved a Sunday on the piss. I would have drunk a skinful of cider. People have gone rushing in. I can't be late. He really didn't mind people coming with him to the bog, so he'd announced that he was off for another one of his legendary shits. And we'd all down tools and follow him excitedly.
Like the Pied Piper.
As we were all huddled around the toilet door, he gave a running commentary on what was happening.
Fuck me.
He'd say things like, I've got a bit of airlock here.
I think TJ's going to be in the top 10.
I do.
At the end of the year.
Or after a really explosive effort, he'd say, think that's gone above the rim. He could shit so high up the pan that we used to joke that he had two arseholes, one normal one and one halfway up his back.
Oh, God, that was really sick.
Oh. This is the most base one. Anyway, the factory eventually closed and we lost our jobs. Mm. Not really sure what TJ is up to these days. Anyway, thanks, guys.
That's good. Very good.
Did you imagine an arsehole halfway up his back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could not, could you?
TJ, hell of an ass. TJ, top of the class. TJ, bum full of turds. TJ, the best in the world. Gossip number three.
This is from John. Hi, Gossip Mongers. This is a story from my time spent working as a postman in Derby. I was only 16 and did the job on Saturdays and during the school holidays. As you probably know, postmen start work pretty early most days. And on Saturdays, they start very early. So I'd be out and delivering mail at about 6:30. I would often be working in the less desirable areas of Derby, and I was soon to find out that at 6:30, the only people knocking about in rough areas are either really odd or really pissed. The morning in question was a fine one, as I remember. The sun was shining and I was getting on with my round, enjoying working outside on such a lovely day. Little did I know, this lovely day was about to take a strange turn. As I went round the corner,
I was looking into my bag to get my letters ready for the next house. As I continued down the road of terraced houses looking into my bag, I heard somebody shout hysterically, "Oi, Postman Pat, have a look at this." I turned and I saw that the lad who got my attention was bumming another lad at the side of the side of the road. The side of the road.
Oi, so what did he shout over?
Oi, Postman Pat, have a look at this. 6:30 in the morning. just up on the grass verge.
Such a simple life.
The two of them could only have been the same age as me at the time. We were both laughing their heads off. Trousers around their ankles. One giving the other a prop. Cracking up. Love it. Loving what they're up to. God, from their point of view, it's a bloody postman coming around the corner.
They don't give a, I'm guessing they don't give a shit, David. They beckoned him over.
For some reason.
I think dignity's out the window. Hey, Postman Pat, have a look at this.
For some reason, I remember smiling and nodding.
I got cramps.
I then just walked off, somewhat traumatised to the sound of them both still pissing themselves.
Oh, what a laugh. Oh, God. Remember what we did yesterday?
I don't know what these two scamps were up to.
We did. They were bumming each other.
But I like to think it was an initiation or a test that these lads had to come up with for the new postman. And I had passed it by completing the rest of the round.
Oh, God. Oh, so he thinks it's something they do for a new postie. Yeah. We've got a new postman. Nip out, set their alarms.
You got what it takes, fella.
Set their alarms for 5:30, give themselves an hour to get ready. Wash, clean their teeth, put their tracksuits on.
Yeah, here he comes, get your arse out.
Who's going to bum who? I don't care, just do it. Don't forget to laugh your head off.
Oh, dear.
I've had a moment where I go, when you said, because it surprised me so much that they were bumming.
Yeah, I've got surprised him. You're not the only one, mate.
Yeah, out of all of us, he was probably the most surprised. But I just know that's going to pop in my head later.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, oh, God, that postman saw
Yeah, oh, God, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you say the line he said one more time? What did they say?
What did he say? Postman Pat, have a look at this. Quite basic.
Have a look at that.
They're only 16. Cheeky scamps.
Confident little buggers.
Bum, bum, bumming my mate. 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 Bumming my mate for the postman. Bumming my mate for the postman. The postman. The postman. Gossip number 4.
Right. Dear gossip mongers, this is from Dave.
Come on, Dave.
I've been working in the fertility sector of the NHS for over 10 years now. Gossip and urban legends are rife, so it seems sensible to offer up one of my experiences.
This particular bit of gossip stems from my earliest days as a reproductive technician. At the time, the method of getting men's samples in for testing was that their GP would give them a small pot and a card with instructions on it. The instructions were more to do with cleanliness rather than the method of production, as it was generally safe to assume that they knew that bit. The men would then drop off their samples in the morning at the clinic into a designated tray and we'd do the analysis. Easy peasy. Occasionally things didn't go as planned. Okay. Men would piss or crap into the pot. Thick men.
Fucking idiots, dude. Fertility treatment. Fertility treatment to shit into it. That immediately means you're not allowed to have children.
Yeah, some men clearly concerned about the small volume of their produce evidently banked up over several deposits, unwittingly requiring that we then refer them to urology, as producing 30 mil of sperm should really be left to livestock. Real low points having to deal with those ones. One particular morning, I got a call from reception. The lady on the front desk, a stout and slightly racist Geordie, would sometimes require assistance with a troublesome patient or a query she couldn't answer. But today, she sounded different. "You'd need to come and see this," was all she said. I duly headed over to see a group of admin staff and nurses stood around the tray that was used for the drop-offs. Within it was a large ovoid shape wrapped in foil. Jack of potato.
Kinder egg.
Yeah. A much larger shape than the pots that were routinely handed out. I feared the worst. Maybe a jam jar full of congealed spunk. But then I noticed the smell. Not an unpleasant smell, but I couldn't quite pinpoint it. I donned gloves and began to unwrap the parcel and was surprised to feel it was warm, almost hot. Steam rose from the package as I opened it and we were presented with a recently cooked jack of potato.
5 points to David.
I clearly microwaved as the skin was moist rather than crispy. Inside the warm flesh of the spud sat the sample pot. Patient sample sitting in there, completely unusable for any analysis, as it had essentially been cooked in a very weird, slightly pervy bain-marie. What's that? Is that a type of potato?
I don't know.
The patient who dropped this off must have fucked off sharpish as no one got a look at him. We had the GP's details, so we'd be able to chase up and get a proper sample at some point. But what we really wanted to know was, why the blithering fuck had he done this? We continued with our day and the smell of the spud hanging in our nostrils. And some hours later, my colleague thought they'd worked it out. On the instruction cards given out by the GPs, there were details of cleanliness, timings of how quickly the sample needed to be dropped off after production, and also how to safely transport it. It appears that this patient misread the line, "Once produced, transport the sample in an upright position, shielded from cold temperatures, for example, in a jacket potato, in a jacket pocket."
For example, in a jacket potato. To be fair, I see why he got it wrong. If they put it on the side of the tub.
Well, it got me. I would have done it then. We all would have done it. In a jacket potato. He put it in a
jacket. So basically, he's dyslexic.
No, he just hadn't. Well, he just misread it. He was just in a rush. Bunged a spud in the microwave.
He's not rushed enough to. He's got enough time to get jacket potato.
It has given me pause for thought over the years. Since then, about A, how the gentleman read that as jacket potato.
Well, we know that.
I thought, yep, fine, seems reasonable. No need to reread that. at what point during the procedure did he pop the potato in the microwave? Pre, post, or during? And C, whether he considered buttering the spud before inserting his sample. I'm almost certain it crossed his mind. I've not been keen on eating jacket potatoes ever since. Keep up the good word. Love the podcast, Dave. That was wonderful, Dave.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff.
Pop your spunk in a jacket potato, baby. That's it. Nice and normal. Pop your spunk in a jacket potato, baby. That's it. Nice and normal. That's it. Nice and normal. Gossip number 5.
Well, this is interesting. This is called the Edinburgh Fisting. And the last line is, all the best, Chris and the family.
This is from us and the kids. Yeah. Kids send their love. Kids love the podcast. Little June is 4 tomorrow.
12 years ago, I was working in Edinburgh as a night porter for a well-known international hotel chain. My workmates and I would while away the long nights wrestling methadone addicts out of the doorway, arranging embassy help for paralytic Japanese tourists who hadn't properly paid the prostitutes they'd brought back for some mental pimps. All right, Jesus Christ. The event took place shortly before I left the job. That night had been unusually quiet. And I was looking forward to kipping in the back office. That is, until all the banging started. Like most city centre hotels, we had secure front doors that could be unlocked with a valid room key. Our outer doors opened automatically and guests had to swipe themselves in from inside of a well-lit sort of glass box. Upon hearing a furious banging from reception, we made our way out, whereupon we came across a curious sight. A very tall, very thin, bald man, good image, was standing in our glass box, airlock clutching his cock in his left hand, with the other hand held firmly behind him. He was hammering on the door with his elbow, his hands being otherwise engaged and obviously having a difficult time. At this point, we didn't really pay much attention to his left hand.
Was that the one behind his back?
Yeah. Remember, this is called the Edinburgh Fisting.
Oh, fuck off, it was up his arse.
Love Chris and the kids.
If his fist is up his arse, I'm love Chris and the kids. Never guess what happened to Daddy today at work.
We didn't really pay much attention to his left hand, being too transfixed by his unusual physique. Think anorexic Skeletor and his sad-looking, flaccid, tightly clutched penis. Didn't really look like the usual public wankers we got back then, who generally seemed pretty pleased with themselves. In fact, if anything, he seemed to be upset to be locked in a glass box. Bollock naked in front of two strangers. Approaching the door and the intercom, we started to pay closer attention to his left hand. Thank heavens you did, because we wouldn't have had a gossip. Why was it clamped behind his back, we wondered aloud. And why was he looking so profoundly unhappy? I mean, the average cock-clutching naked men we saw were well chuffed with themselves, so this was definitely not normal. With trepidation, we opened the door, and he rushed in. We saw that he had, in fact, shoved almost his whole fist up his arse. He rushed in, did he?
I'm just seeing if that's possible.
Well, not on this podcast, you know.
No, but I mean, like, arm to arsehole, I suppose it is.
Yeah, anything's possible. Not all the way up, mind you, although he had managed to get his four fingers all the way in right up to the knuckle.
The picture I'm painting is fucking horrible.
His thumb had apparently been a digit too far. It transpired that he was a guest in the hotel. He'd been attacked by a bout of diarrhea in the night. He'd opened the wrong door in his hotel room and found himself locked out in the well-lit and plush corridors of the hotel, all the while desperately holding in the sticky brown flood. Oh, right. Oh, of course he did.
So he's being a gentleman.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't a sexual thing. He was stopping the... fingering the dyke.
It's a good deed. Later, we watched the CCTV footage of this porcelain scarecrow leaping wildly up and down the corridors and stairwells looking for a toilet, of which there were none. After several turns around the floor, he'd started to visibly shit himself, leaving a brown trail behind him as he went. At this point, he'd plunged through an emergency exit into an alleyway behind the hotel and had clearly started panicking, jumping up and down and spurting watery turds hither and thither. Much to the consternation of the solo passerby captured on film, he ran out of our camera's field of vision. Sometime between then and arriving at our reception, he must have struck on the idea of fisting himself, which I guess solved two problems at once.
Like a cork.
Since, as well as slowing his by then doubtless heavy flow, it also helped him to blend in better with Edinburgh's uniquely bizarre nightlife. I imagine late-night revellers passing him by would have discussed him thusly. Look at that poor cunt tripping his bollocks off and fisting the fuck out of his own arsehole. Should we see if he's okay? Ach, no, you daft cunt. Look at him. He's clearly having the time of his life. Leave him be. We let him in, provided him with a towel, and after a minimum of formality, my pal led him up to his room. I elected not to accompany him, preferring instead to just go round with a mop than to walk the corridors trying to make small talk with a man with a fist up his arse. Anyway, that was a long time ago now. We emigrated from the UK shortly afterwards, in fact. And now I make my children 5 and 3, since you asked, listen to your podcast in the car on the way to play school. So that if they ever do decide to the UK, return to the UK in their adult lives, they will have some deeply buried subconscious understanding of exactly what they're letting themselves in for. All the best, Chris and the family.
Oh, Chris and the family.
If you would like to support the podcast and get a chance to listen to the episodes early, watch videos, that kind of thing, come over to patreon.com/gossipmongerspodcast. Thank you. That's patreon.com/gossipmongerspodcast. Thank you. Gossip number 6.
This is from Lee. Hello, I grew up in the Midlands. Would like to introduce you to a man who fascinated the people of my sleepy village in the early 2000s. His name was Shinny. This name was given to him due to the fact that his shin was actually on his right forearm, and he had what looked like an incredibly ripped bicep where his shin should be.
So his shin's on his arm and his arm's on his shin.
Yeah, ripped bicep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's on his shin. The back on of his leg was perfectly flat, however. And although we never got a spirit level out, I'm sure the bubble would have been well situated between the lines. This led to a later generation of children referring to him as Arnold Schwarzenegger due to his huge leg guns. But this never caught on as he moved to and became a zipline instructor.
Fucking hell, I need an hour off.
I've only just started.
Oh, no.
Anyway, let's not get caught up with his name.
Tough. We
became aware of him at a local five-a-side football tournament.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
We were warming up and heard a dispute over near the registration desk. Rules stipulated that shin pads must be worn at all times. Ginny was kicking up a fuss, claiming that as his shin wasn't in the line of fire when boots were flying, you'd only need to wear the one. I don't understand this. She's saying because his shin's on his arm. Why does he need...
Well, and he's got a big muscle on the front of it, so he's not going to get hurt, is it?
Oh, you really got to concentrate with this one.
It feels like The Wire.
You got to stick with it.
He pulled off his popper line jogging bottoms like a stripper to reveal his massive bulging bicep where his shin should be. It was agreed that he could wear one shin pad on his left leg. The other would have to go on his right forearm for insurance purposes. Should he get injured? Ginny agreed. And with only one more dispute during the match rearing its head, brackets the ball striking his right hand and him protesting to the referee that due to his shin position, this should be classed as a foot. He saw out the match and returned to his car. Unbeknownst to us, Shinny had a son. He'd been in the car the whole time, and as they left the car park, he waved from the passenger window. We could never be sure, as the kid was a lot younger than us and therefore never mingled, but my friend Julian swore that he had a hand that was split in the middle and formed two little hands atop his wrist.
I've never been so sure that a rumour's been bollocks.
Guess it ran in the family for their body parts to be a little muddled. We search for Shinny's son on LinkedIn, and it appears he's now a basketball coach. Which only strengthened the rumour that his two tiny hands added to his third regular-sized hand made him the perfect coach for a sport requiring predominantly the hands. We also tried to book a trip to Shinny's zipline, but unfortunately his website link... his son's basketball team, which is subsequently looking for players if anyone's interested.
I don't know what this rumour's about. I'm totally lost what's going on.
I've got a shin on my arm and an arm on my shin. I've got a shin on my arm and an arm on my shin. I don't know where my arm stops or where the shin begins. I'm shinny. Yeah. I'm shinny. Yeah. I'm shinny. Yeah. Gossip number 7.
Hello, gossip mongers. In my school in South Wales, lots of strange rumours were circulated, but the most interested includes a young man and a pepper army. It's going in somewhere. Basically, an older boy had gone round his friends, and whilst they'd made an unannounced entrance into the friend's younger brother's room, as he opened the door, he saw his younger brother on all fours on his bed with a pepper army inserted into his bottom. I never found out what flavour pepper army, or whether it still had its protective plastic sheath over it, but I like to imagine it was a red hot one and the sleeve had been removed. The boy who spotted it came back to school and told absolutely everyone, and as a result, his friendship with pepper army's boy's older brother was ended. And if memory serves me correctly, they had a short fist fight behind the blue container. Blue container. You know,
aren't pepper armies really thin?
Yeah, they're easily put on your bum.
It's easily done.
That'd be funny. You're not going to...
Yeah.
You're not going to lose sleep over that, are you?
It would look ridiculous, though, wouldn't it? A little tail.
Like a good 3 inches sticking out. And they're solid as well, so they wouldn't bend.
Oh,
they're really straight.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they're really straight. So they're like a dart, like a meat dart into his arse.
Oh, God.
That's the core of our podcast, that sort of...
Yeah, it is, yeah.
That's the meat and veg of our...
Yeah.
Without,
yeah, it is.
Without those, we're nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a real sadness in the way you're saying yes. Mm. You're like, yeah, yeah, it is, isn't it? You want to do something more cultural now, don't you?
Yeah.
You want to talk about paintings and buildings. Not pepper armies up the douche. Suddenly feel old,
oh,
don't you?
God. I do, actually.
I can read you like
I keep
a book.
Thinking about my mum.
Yeah.
Just how disappointed she is, I think.
Yeah. Oh, David's doing a podcast.
Joe Wilkinson and David Earle will now choose their favourite rumour.
Right, so here are the top five. Joe, we're both going to choose our favourite.
Yeah, and we say it at the same time and then we don't know what happens if we choose different ones.
Yeah, clear as mud.
We have not worked this out. At all. We're just ploughing on with it anyway. We could have sat down before this and worked it out, but no, let's just fucking do it.
So here's the top five gossips from this episode. Number one, fisting his own arse in Glasgow. Number two, oi, Postman Pat, get a load of this.
Oh, yeah. Got a lot of time for that one.
Number three, Shinny, the bicep man.
Good at this.
Number four, pissing away a urinal cake. And number five, semen pot in a warm jacket potato.
For names alone, this could be our greatest top five. Okay.
So,
yeah, I'm struggling actually to choose. Have you got one?
Not really.
No, I haven't.
Not really. I think I have.
We really need this to be the same as each other, otherwise we haven't got a clue.
Yeah, we have got a way of deciding.
can you tell me that I'll just say the same? Right, now let's go for it.
Okay. After three.
One,
two. Three.
Pissing away your
fisting
own.
His own.
Oh, my God.
Right.
What do we do now? Right, let's discuss. Why have you chosen that one?
What, fisting his own arse in Glasgow?
Is it the Glasgow bit?
What do you think?
Well, he was the bread and butter.
He was outside in public, he was naked, and he was stopping his shits from coming out of his arse.
Because it was for the good of the nation, wasn't it?
Apparently, that was his excuse.
Yeah, actually, okay. But okay, I'll go with your, because it was for the good of the nation.
Okay.
Or the hotel.
Okay, so fisting his own arse in Glasgow.
And I want you to have to keep saying it.
Congratulations.
Who's won again? I've forgotten who's won.
Fisting his own arse in the centre of Glasgow. Right, so I'm just going to roll up the piece of paper. Fisting his own arse in Glasgow. Rolling up there. And then we're going to pop it down the cylindrical tube and it's going to whiz its way
into our last 16.
All the way until it jumps out onto the leaderboard.
Into our last 16, Dave. It's not a leaderboard. You said it last week. It's not
16,
a leaderboard.
Our last 16 will go forward. Can you expect what happens?
Right, we don't know. But if you win an episode like Fisting Your Own Arsehole in Glasgow, for example, you go on to what David has called our leaderboard, which is in fact
knockout stage.
That's the phrase.
Yeah, knockout stage.
Yeah, then it'll be like we did in the last series. It'll be Fisting Your Own Arsehole in Glasgow versus
Ken Eats Arses. And the best one of the whole year will win a cash prize.
Of not as much as last year, because we felt that was too much.
Too steep.
And, it took us a couple of days to get over having to get that much cash out.
Right, okay, so I'm just rolling up now and I'm popping in the tube. There it goes. Whee!
Also, could I mention that we should have probably explained all that in episode one?
Yeah, and it... It's coming out the end and it's onto the leaderboard, onto the final 16, whatever it is.
It's just a sound effect you put on, David.
Yeah. Okay, thanks everyone for listening.
I think we're getting slicker at that bit.
Yeah. Bye.
Ta-ra.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember, if you know of any unsubstantiated rumors, send it into gossipmongers@yahoo.com. Until the next time, keep your little ears open for all that juicy goss. Goodbye. Bye bye. Bye. Love you lots and lots. Bye for now.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes bits and bobs, we post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat. Nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl.